WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Paul Simon is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the duo Simon and Garfunkel. On Monday, Simon will be inducted as a solo artist. Last month at the Grammy Award ceremonies, he performed a song from his latest CD, You're the One, which was nominated for Album of the Year. In a moment, we'll hear an interview I recorded with him late last year after You're the One was released. First, let's hear the title track.
May 12 angels guard you while you sleep. Maybe that's a waste of angels, I don't know. I'd do anything to keep you safe from the danger that surrounds us. Little by little, bit by bit, little bit by little bit, now you got it, that's it. What are you thinking? Things will go sour, take its temperature every hour, nervous when you own it, nervous when it's gone. What do you think has been going on for so long?
Paul Simon first became known in the 60s for his folk rock music with Art Garfunkel, but Simon told me that his roots are in rhythm and blues.
The interesting thing about the rhythm and blues stuff, which was very simple, really simple lyrics, you know, I'll always be true, I'll always love you, those kind of rhymes. What was understood by everybody was that there was a subtext that was real about, that was really about life, and that what was being sung was the simplest of rhymes, but underneath it was gangs and sex and
right.
James Dean, and maybe people were smoking reefers or, you know, or drinking. It wasn't so goody. It was bad, but you couldn't say it in the songs, but everybody understood that it was a code. And, you know, skipping ahead decades, when I start to write the doo-wop material for the Cape Man,
mm-hmm.
and use the real raw language of what was going on in the street, well, that's really what I was saying, which was that the sound of it sounded innocent, but actually everybody understood what the culture really was. It was just a facade of innocence, but underneath it was, it was less innocent. The folk music, in some ways, actually was the opposite, because it sort of pretended it knew more than it did. It had a world weariness that really nobody was entitled to, considering that we were all just kids.
Oh, I know what you mean. There's a demo that was released on a box set of Bridge Over Troubled Water, you doing the demo.
Uh-huh.
Of it. And I just want to play this because I think it's really interesting to hear you, you know, doing the demo version of it. And before we hear it, I'm wondering, is this in a higher key than the actual record is?
Well, I'm not sure what key it is or what key the record is. It's the key that I wrote it on the guitar, and it was too high, so I'm going into falsetto. Also, I'm not really doing anything other than sketching out a demo. So,
right.
But I decided somewhere relatively early, I can't remember exactly when, relatively early, that the song should be played with piano like a gospel song. And I was listening to a lot of gospel music at that time, the Swan Silvertones and the Soul Stirrers and Dixie Hummingbirds. Those were the groups I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some idea about a gospel sound that I wanted, and there was a piano. So I knew that the song was going to change to piano, and my instinct was that Artie should sing it. So that's the way it came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear your demo version of it. This is Paul Simon.
When you're weary, feel
Done a lot of investigation of international musics, particularly music of Africa, Latin America. When did you start getting the impulse to listen to music that was that far away from home? I mean, this was before Afropop became, you know, very popular. How were you first exposed to it, and why did you decide to get deeper into it?
I think I was first exposed to it with Alan Freed and what I said earlier. When you mix into the same half hour something by Carl Perkins and The Moon Glows and Ruth Brown and Ray Charles and Johnny Cash, and you call it all rock and roll, and you say it's all the same because it's called rock and roll. What you're really talking about, or Fats Domino, what you're really talking about is music from Louisiana, which is heavily syncopated and influenced by Caribbean rhythms, which are really West African, and or the Everly's, or Carl Perkins, and that music is, in Everly's case, that's like that's Appalachian influenced, and so that's coming from a Celtic tradition, and Frankie Lyman and the doo-wop groups, they're coming from a gospel quartet, which is also a mix of African and English, and so very early on, I was exposed to a lot of different cultures. Just nobody explained it that way. Plus, my father was a musician, and he played music from his era, which was probably the big band era. And he used to play, he often used to play at Roseland Ballroom in New York. And there was another band on that would play with him. And it was a Latin band, so I heard Latin music, too.
Tell me more about your father, about what he played, what kind of music.
He played, he played bass, and he was a leader of a band. Sometimes he had a band that played, and sometimes he worked for other people, and he played all kinds of music, and it was a generation of musicians that prided themselves on the fact that they could play all kinds of music. And
did his band play for like bar mitzvahs and weddings and things like that?
Could do that. Mm-hmm. The band could play that, or it could play at a dance place like Roseland, mm-hmm. or he was on the Arthur Godfrey television show. He was in that band. He made some records. He was on some of the early rock and roll records. Somebody
would
call him up and book him. And he'd play, really, it was a generation, as I said, that, you know, prided themselves on just put the music in front of me and I can play it. It's whatever it is, there's a familiarity with it, if not, a great expertise. So anyway, my background was, I was exposed to a lot of different music. I wasn't interested in most of it. and only liked this, you know, certain kinds of rock and roll. But I remembered all of it.
Did you and your father have any music wars, music conflicts? Like a lot of people growing up in the 50s had these big fights in the car, for instance, about who would control the radio. Would you listen to the station that played Papa Loves Mambo and How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, or would you listen to the station that was playing Elvis Presley?
No, we didn't really have any fights about that. He was an easygoing guy. He wasn't going to... He didn't think much of that music.
Of which
music?
Music
that I liked.
Uh-huh.
Of the music that I liked. He thought it was... He really thought it was really too simple. And, and from his point of view, he was a well-trained musician. It was very simple, harmonically. What wasn't simple was how to actually do it and make it be good. It's easy to mistake something that's simple for having, you know, little value. Actually, it's pretty hard to be simple and good.
Paul Simon recorded late last year after the release of his CD, You're the One. On Monday, he'll be inducted as a solo artist in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is Fresh Air.